RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news for the headlines. Realization of 86 investment projects in 11 provinces absorbed thousands of workers. House members of two attend Asian Parliamentary Assembly in Pakistan. It is time for students to do real works for the nation. Now the news in detail. Indonesian parliamentary delegates represented by Hamdani and Chatur Sabto Edi have been attended the Asian Parliamentary Assembly Standing Committee meeting on Economic and Sustainable Development Affairs on July 25th to 29 in Serena Hotel, Islamabad, Pakistan. Hamdani said in a written statement, escorted by Antara News Agency, that Indonesian delegates will consistently voice such issues economy and development to strengthen the state and social welfare, said Hamdani, a member of the House's Commission for. He explained that based on the decision in the second session of the plenary of APA in Tehran, Iran, November 2007, APA highlights five major issues under its standing committee, namely political, peace and security, social and culture, economy and sustainable development, as well as energy. APA comprises of 42 member parliaments, 17 observers. Hamdani went on to say that aside from Indonesia, the APA members are ASEAN member states, Afghanistan, Bahrain, Pakistan, China, Korea, Palestine, Saudi Arabia, Syria, Turkey, and Iran. The observers are Australia, Fiji, Japan, Qatar, Timor-Leste, New Zealand, Oman, Papua New Guinea. The Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, recorded that as many as 86 investment projects in 11 provinces have absorbed 20,000 workers. Head of the Investment Coordinating Board, Frankie Sibarani, said monitoring of 86 investment projects is part of the plan of the Investment Coordinating Board to monitor 1,000 investment projects during 2016. In a press conference held in Jakarta Tuesday, July 26, Frankie explained the monitoring of investment projects is aimed to accelerate investment projects.
In July, the BKPM team has observed and facilitated 86 investment projects worth 39.6 trillion rupiah. Until June, there has been realized 12.9 trillion. It means that there has a progress of 34.5%. The 86 projects have export values of 1.19 billion US dollar. Then there is an import substitutions products of 1.6 billion and the power plant that will produce 217.5 megawatts.
Frankie Sibarani moreover said that BKPM continues to detailing the workers in some provinces and regions such as Central Java, West Java, South Kalimantan, Bali, and Jakarta. Outside from the absorbing manpower that has been realized, BKPM also has recorded the employment opportunities for more than 30,000 people in three provinces, namely Central Java, West Java, and Papua. The rescue team found another male corpse of illegal migrant workers who drowned in East Sea of Malaysian Peninsula waters. The bodies were found around the area of the sinking vessel. Currently, the total number of bodies are 15 people, 7 women and 8 men. From the total of 15 bodies, there are still 9 more bodies are not identified yet. Consul General in Johor Bahru Taufik Rijal said the 6 bodies that have been identified will be sent to their respective areas, Nusa Tenggara Timur, Sumenep East Java, Medan North Sumatra, and West Nusa Tenggara. All 6 bodies were taken by land to Malaysia, then flown to Jakarta and sent to each of the victims' homelands because none of the victims' family who allowed the bodies to be buried in Malaysia.
Satu hari ini jadi 15 jenazah ya. Satu ibu dengan bayinya.
There are 15 bodies consisted of a mother with her baby to Kupang, Medan, and Mataram. None of the victims' family who allowed the bodies to be buried in Malaysia. 6 bodies will be brought to Kuala Lumpur by land. Tomorrow morning or afternoon, the bodies will be left for Jakarta.
Taufik added, this time the SAR team together with Malaysian Maritime SAR team still searching and patrolling in the waters of the East Sea of Malaysian Peninsula. From the information, the survivors are still about 14 victims who are still in the search. People in Indonesia who want to look for information about their family can provide information along with photos to the Consulate General in Johor Bahru. Chairman of the Presidium of the Association of Students Indonesia PPI, Stephen Guntur, said the students who join in the PPI will immediately implement the work plan which has been prepared and agreed in PPI Symposium in Cairo, Egypt in 2016. Stephen Guntur, on the sidelines of the symposium in Giza, Egypt on Tuesday, to RRI, said the 2016 PPI Symposium, unlike the previous symposiums, which only result in recommendation and declarations. The 2016 PPI Symposium, according to him, contained a concrete plan that will be realized by the Indonesian students who joined with the PPI World for the development of the nation. According to Stephen Guntur, PPI will form a regulatory body to oversee and ensure the work plan of PPI World to be implemented well.
Sebenarnya itu inti pentingnya dari simposium pada tahun ini.
Actually, an important point of the symposium can be taken from this year, since at the previous year only has declaration and recommendation. We start to develop a watchdog this year. So after we have discussed, then we get action plan, an employment plan, which will be controlled and followed with a timeline. So the watchdog come from PPI World Presidium Council and some selected people. Stephen Guntur said PPI wants the change to change public perception that students only demanding and express critical to the government. According to him, it is not the time that students only express protests and critical to the government. He added, it is time for students to walk and work along with governments to develop the nation. Therefore, students have to do the real work for the nation. He invited the Indonesian students to study abroad to provide discovery, the result of innovation, research, the latest writings from abroad for the nation's progress. The Investment Coordinating Board and the Directorate General of Customs and Excise evaluate the implementation of the Green Road Facility. The Green Road Facility is a fast-track enabling companies to obtain licenses for the import of machinery and equipment, which would speed up the realization of their planned investment. The Finance Ministry's Director General of Taxation, Heru Prambudi, said companies that have received a recommendation from Investment Coordinating Board to receive the Green Road Facility is not inspected by customs in doing importation. In a press conference held in Jakarta on Tuesday, July 26, Heru explained, with this Green Road Facility, the customs clearance only takes half a day. and this effect is immediately visible. In the previous years, 2015 and earlier, customs clearance needed 6 days. So in the first half of 2016, the average time dropped to 0.364 day. So with this facility, they are completed in just 0.36 days. It is specific to custom clearance. Of course, we will also add time to the pre- and post-custom clearance. But with that, I can add the custom clearance time decreases 5.5 days. Heru confirms that the fast-track route is still supervised. Green Road facility is expected to accelerate the development of the factory. If the factory is quickly built, it will create employment opportunities, conduct export, and fulfill tax obligations. Since its launch on January 11, 2016, there have been 66 companies that received the Green Road facility. A total of 62 companies, or 94%, have done the realization of the import of machinery, goods, and equipment with an investment of 15.9 trillion rupiah. Head of the Investment Coordinating Board, Frankie Sibarani, said, Green Road facility is to boost investment in remote areas and reduce the development gap between regions. There is no guarantee that experts in Islam are free from radicalism. It was said by Grand Imam of the biggest mosque in Indonesia, Istiqlal, Nasaruddin Umar, in an international symposium in Cairo recently. The symposium themed Strengthening the Nation's Identity was held by the Indonesian Student Association, PPI. Nasaruddin said further, some graduates from the Egyptian Moderate University, Al-Azhar, had spread radical thoughts.
Jadi ini menunjukkan bahwa ada kecenderungan peningkatan.
Radicalism in the religious faculties is increasing. The tendency happens also in faculties in Middle East and Egypt, which should give enlightenment. We used to rely on the students from Egypt for enlightenment, but now Egypt is no guarantee. Nasaruddin Umar called on the Indonesian students to give a better understanding of Islam as a religion of blessing to the Indonesian people. Nasaruddin said, radical groups in Indonesia are very active in spreading radicalism through social media. Students who understand the Islamic teachings should be active to combat radicalism with spreading the views of enlightenment. The last item. The UN Secretary General of Habitat 3, John Close, in the PREPCOM 3 conference in Surabaya Tuesday, said affordability of urban housing is important for a conducive urban development. According to research conducted by the UN, the affordability of housing is not proportional to the gross domestic product. Close said, the affordability of housing depends on policy of each country.
That in order to have affordability, housing is not dependent on GDP, is dependent on policies of affordability. What provides affordability is not wealth, it's the public policies towards affordability. Then what we are saying towards Habitat 3 is that the member states should pay attention, special attention to affordability, because affordability is becoming a social problem, is related to inequality, is related to unhappiness, is related to social unrest, is related to many questions.
John Close said further, many countries are still far from optimal in the affordability of housing, especially in cities with more than 100,000 inhabitants. There is a variety of policies of affordability of housing. An active policy is, however, necessary to raise the people's affordability of housing. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Realization of 86 investment projects in 11 provinces absorbed thousands of workers. House members to attend Asian Parliamentary Assembly in Pakistan. It is time for Indonesian students to do real works for the nation. That was the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, is holding VOI International Quiz 2016 with the main prize, Having a Holiday in Indonesia. Indonesia, an amazing country, the world's largest archipelagic country, where you can find a lot of wonderful things. Indonesia, a beautiful place with natural cultural diversity, along with its friendly people. All of this will impress you for good. Are you dreaming of visiting Indonesia? Make your dream come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2016. You may be the lucky one to visit the wonderful Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. What is the capital city of Indonesia? 2. What is your favorite program? 3. Tell us briefly what you know about Voice of Indonesia. Please send your answer along with your personal data, passport number, and expiry date of your passport to voiquiz2016@gmail.com. voiquiz2016@gmail.com before August 1st, 2016. Welcome to Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our commentary for today entitling Asian Stance on South China Sea Conflicts. The International Arbitration Court rejected the Chinese claim over South China Sea, especially the territory that is marked as its traditional fishing waters. The Philippines then gained legitimacy with the decision of the court while the Chinese refused it. Things do not stop there. Last weekend, foreign ministers of Asian countries met in Vientiane, Laos. Although the arbitration court's decision was on the agenda, the foreign ministers did not reach an agreement related to the settlement of the South China Sea. The Philippines wanted it incorporated into the draft of final joint statement of the meeting, but Cambodia, which in fact has no connection with the problem, rejected. The meeting then almost reached an impasse. The Philippines finally, yet reluctantly, relinquished its claim on the passage of the joint statement on Monday. Thus, the results that came out of the 49 Asian ministerial meeting in Laos only asked all parties to exercise restraint in the South China Sea issue. Of the 10 member states of Asia, 4 countries, namely the Philippines, Vietnam, Malaysia, and Brunei, are in dispute with China on the issue of the maritime boundary. It happened after Beijing held routine patrols, even building artificial islands, in the South China Sea, which is also claimed by the Philippines. Compared to other Asian member states, which are still expecting dialogue and appealing to China to release claim, the Philippines has made rapid strides and lodged a complaint about the matter to the Court of the International Arbitration. The result is a rejection of unilateral claim by China. The Philippines has got its demands, but all just on paper alone. Asian Stance after the Vientiane meeting shows internal divisions in this region's organization and has made problems of some of its members increasingly unresolved. Cambodia, who does not have any claim on the South China Sea, is considered helpful or siding with Beijing on this issue. Difficulties also occur because of the attitude of some Asian members themselves who are ambiguous. On the one hand, they want to put pressure on Beijing to release its claim on their traditional fishing waters, which are marked with 9 dotted lines. On the other hand, these countries do not want to lose Beijing as somewhat important trading partner. Surely, it is not expected that this issue become protracted. Asian should have a clearer stance relevant to these issues and not allow its member countries to struggle on their own. Asian collectively in addressing various issues seems is yet to be proven, especially in facing a giant like China. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome to the regular Today in History. We start from an event, the inaugural flight of the Havilland Comet, the first jet-powered commercial plane, on July 27, 1949. The Havilland Comet was the first commercial jet plane of post-World War II, which was produced and developed by the de Havilland Manufactory in England. At that time, the whole commercial flights still depended on piston engine aircraft or propeller. It was designed by using low-wing cantilever monoplane concept with four jet engines set on the wings. The design was started in 1946 under the supervision of Ronald Bishop. The Havilland Comet flew for the first time on July 27, 1949. The plane was tested and recovered for 3 years. Then it conducted the first commercial flight on January 22, 1952. Now, on July 27, 1953, Korean War ended. Korean War, occurring for June 25, 1950 until July 27, 1953, was a conflict between North Korea and South Korea. The war was also called a mandated war between South Korean allies, including the US, Australia, and New Zealand, and North Korean allies were China and the Soviet Union. The war ended on July 27, 1953, when the US, China, and North Korea signed ceasefire agreement. Although the then South Korean president refused to sign the agreement, he respected the ceasefire. The battle actually ended, but the two Korean states technically remain in war. The last event is on July 27, 1996, the attack to the centerboard of Indonesian Democratic Party. The attack incident, or commonly called as Grey Saturday, since the incident occurred on Saturday. The attack was an eminent event to the Indonesian Democratic Party central board on Jalan Diponegoro 58, Central Jakarta, which then was controlled by supporters of Megawati Sukarnoputri. The raid was carried out by supporters of Suryadi, the then chairman of the Indonesian Democratic Party Congress Fersen, in Medan, which was recognized by the government at that time. Previously, there had been dualism in the Indonesian Democratic Party leadership. Chaotic leadership in the Indonesian Democratic Party body occurred ahead of 1997 election. The attack eventually expanded into riots in several areas in Jakarta, especially in the area of Jalan Diponegoro, Salemba, and Kramat. A number of vehicles and buildings were on fire. By the effects of the unrest, Megawati Sukarnoputri eventually founded a rival party, namely the Indonesian Democratic Party of Struggle, PDIP, as a form of fighting against injustice toward democracy in Indonesia at that time. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome back to Voy Green. Today's Voy Green entitled, Waikambas National Park becomes ASEAN Heritage Park. Waikambas National Park in Lampung Timur Regency of Lampung Province officially became the 36th Southeast Asian Nations or ASEAN Heritage Park. This decision was taken in the 5th committee hearing of ASEAN Heritage Park in Bandar Lampung, Monday, July 25th. Attending the ceremony was Executive Director of the ASEAN Center for Biodiversity, Roberto Oliva, Director General of Conservation of Natural Resources and Ecosystems, Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Tahrir Fatoni, and Assistant Director for Environment Division of the ASEAN Secretariat, Saros Krisai. Also present were representatives from 10 ASEAN countries, which included into the Center for Biodiversity and the elements of the provincial government of Lampung. Acting Secretary of Lampung Province, Sutono, at the hearing stated, the establishment of the ASEAN Heritage Park area became self-honor. Sutono also said that, in addition to Elephant Conservation Center, in the Waikambas National Park, there is also a Sumatran Rhino Sanctuary as the only location where the Sumatran Rhino crows breeding semi-naturally in Asia or the world. In May, the International Conservation World got a good news with the birth of 2 horned Sumatran Rhino at the Sumatran Rhino Sanctuary. According to Sutono, the Rhino birth, which is the second time in the Sumatran Rhino Sanctuary, shows the successful management of the rhino's breeding in the national park. Until now, there are 37 ASEAN heritage parks, 4 of them are located in Indonesia, namely Gunung Loser National Park in Aceh, Kerinci Sablat National Park in Sumatra, Lawrence National Park in Papua, and Waikambas National Park. Meanwhile, the governor of Lampung, M. Rido Ficardo, said the enactment of Waikambas as an ASEAN Heritage Park is the right choice. Moreover, Waikambas National Park is not just talking about the elephant conservation, but also Sumatran rhino, Sumatran tiger, and rare birds, as well as being home to a variety of protected plants. In a committee hearing of ASEAN Heritage Park, Indonesia also proposed Thousand Islands National Park and Wakatobi National Park become the ASEAN Heritage Parks. Chairman of the session, Ratna Kusumasari, who also delegates from Indonesia, explained, the session only enrolled national park nomination which has been proposed by each member state. The assignment will be carried out at the ASEAN ministerial meeting on the environment next September. The national park, which is designated as the ASEAN Heritage Park, will receive fund assistance from the ASEAN Biodiversity Center for Biodiversity Conservation. Waikambas National Park, for example, has received 3 million euros fund assistance for the next 3 years. Listener, that was today's Voice Green. Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian parliamentary delegates represented by Hamdani and Chatur Sabto Edi have been attended the Asian Parliamentary Assembly Standing Committee meeting on Economic and Sustainable Development Affairs on July 25th to 29th in Serena Hotel, Islamabad, Pakistan. Hamdani said in a written statement escorted by Antara News Agency that Indonesian delegates will consistently voice such issues, economy and development, to strengthen the state and social welfare. The Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, recorded that as many as 86 investment projects in 11 provinces have absorbed 20,000 workers. Head of the Investment Coordinating Board, Frankie Sibarani, said monitoring of 86 investment projects is part of the plan of the Investment Coordinating Board to monitor 1,000 investment projects during 2016. The rescue team found another male corpse of illegal migrant workers who drowned in a sea of Malaysian peninsular waters. The bodies were found around the area of the scene of the sinking vessel. Currently, the total number of bodies are 15 people, 7 women, and 8 men. Chairman of the Presidium of the Association of Students Indonesia PPI, Stephen Guntur, said the students who join in the PPI will immediately implement the work plan, which has been prepared and agreed in PPI Symposium in Cairo, Egypt, 2016. The Investment Coordinating Board and the Directorate General of Customs and Excise evaluate the implementation of the Green Road Facility. The Green Road Facility is a fast-track enabling companies to obtain licenses for the import of machinery and equipment, which would speed up the realization of their planned investment. There is no guarantee that export in Islam are free from radicalism. It was said by Grand Imam of the biggest mosque in Indonesia, Istiqlal, Nasaruddin Umar, in an international symposium in Cairo recently. Nasaruddin said further, some graduates from the Egyptian Moderate University of Al-Azhar had spread radical thoughts. The UN Secretary General of Habitat 3, John Close, in the PrepCom 3 conference in Surabaya, said affordability of urban housing is important for a conducive urban development. Listener, that was news in brief.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Gorontalo. Stay tuned. Listeners, Indonesia is rich of beautiful nature. Indonesian beautiful nature is everlasting. One of them is beach. During this time, domestic and foreign tourists love beach, but they only know beaches in Bali and Lombok. Actually, there are many other beautiful beaches in Indonesia. One of them is at Cinta Island in Gorontalo province. Cinta Island is located at Talimuta sub-district, Bualemo Regency, Gorontalo. Being suitable with its name, Cinta Island, which has exotic and romantic beach, has shape like heart. Cinta means love in English. The shape of this island adds romanticism if tourists come to this island. This island often becomes place for honeymoon. Earlier, this island was unoccupied, but one day there were Bualemo people who found this place. The Bualemo people reported to tourism office in Gorontalo. Finally, Cinta Island is officially as Gorontalo tourism object on the Sail Tomini Gorontalo Festival. The route of Cinta Island can be accessed from Gorontalo. The distance from Gorontalo to Bualemo takes around 2 hours by cars. After arriving at Bualemo, the trip is continued to Talimuta sub-district. Then, tourists must continue the trip to Balihuto Beach. At the beach, there is boat which can be rented to Cinta Island. The trip to this island is quite long and it costs a lot. Because of that, to make easy and cheap, tourists can look for tourism package to this island. If you want to stay overnight on Cinta Island, you can rent a cottage. There are around 15 cottages and the rental fee is quite expensive. Rental fee of one cottage per night is around 3 until 5 million rupiah. On this island, rental boat is also provided to go around 30 hectares mangrove forest. If you bring your own camera, you will be charged 1 million rupiah. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Candi Borobudur, which in English means Borobudur Temple. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly, and you can repeat after me. Candi Borobudur. Candi Borobudur, which means Borobudur Temple. Hendak pergi kemana? Hendak pergi kemana, which means where are you going? Hari ini. Hari ini, which means today. Sudah pernah mendengar. Sudah pernah mendengar, which means has ever heard. Tentang. Tentang, which means about. Di mana letaknya? Di mana letaknya, which means where is the location? Apakah jauh dari Jogja? Apakah jauh dari Jogja, which means is it far from Jogja? Letaknya sekitar. Letaknya sekitar, which means the location is about 40 km barat laut. 40 km barat laut, which means 40 km northwest. Tepatnya. Tepatnya, which means precisely. Berapa luas candi? Berapa luas candi, which means how is the area of the temple? Luasnya 2500 meter persegi. Luasnya 2500 meter persegi, which means the width is 2500 square meters. Candi Hindu atau Buddha. Candi Hindu atau Buddha, which means the temple of Hindus or Buddhas. Di dunia. Di dunia, which means in the world. Kapan candi didirikan? Kapan candi didirikan, which means when the temple was built. Dibangun pada tahun 750 dan 850 Masehi. Dibangun pada tahun 750 dan 850 Masehi, which means it was built in 750 and 850 AD. Terima kasih infonya. Terima kasih infonya, which means thank you for the information. Kapan kita ke sana? Kapan kita ke sana, which means then we'll go there. Jam 9. Jam 9, which means 9 o'clock. Baiklah. Baiklah, which means all right. Now, listener, we gave you an example of conversation entitled Candi Borobudur, or in English means Borobudur Temple. The conversation is between A. Andi and B. Danu. A. Andi, kita hendak pergi kemana hari ini, Danu? Kita hendak pergi kemana hari ini, Danu? Which means, where will we go today, Danu? B. Danu, ke Candi Borobudur. Apakah Anda sudah pernah mendengar tentang Borobudur, Andi? Apakah Anda sudah pernah mendengar tentang Borobudur, Andi? Which means, we are going to go to Borobudur Temple. Have you ever heard about Borobudur Temple, Andi? A. Andi, tidak pernah. Di mana letaknya? Apakah jauh dari Yogyakarta? Tidak pernah. Di mana letaknya? Apakah jauh dari Yogyakarta? Which means, no, never. Where is the location? Is it far from Yogyakarta? B. Danu, letaknya sekitar 40 km barat laut Yogyakarta. Tepatnya di Desa Boro, Kabupaten Magelang, Jawa Tengah. Letaknya sekitar 40 km barat laut Yogyakarta. Tepatnya di Desa Boro, Kabupaten Magelang, Jawa Tengah. Which means, its location is about 40 km northwest of Yogyakarta, precisely at Boro Village, Magelang Regency, Central Java. A. Andi, berapa luas candinya? Berapa luas candinya, which means, how is the temple's wide? B. Danu, luasnya 2.500 meter persegi. Luasnya 2.500 meter persegi, which means, it is 2,500 square meters wide. A. Andi, Borobudur itu candi Hindu atau Buddha? Borobudur itu candi Hindu atau Buddha, which means, is it the Hindus or Buddha's temple? B. Danu, Borobudur adalah candi Buddha terbesar di dunia. Borobudur adalah candi Buddha terbesar di dunia, which means, Borobudur is the biggest Buddha's temple in the world. A. Andi, kapan candi ini didirikan? Kapan candi ini didirikan? Which means, when was the temple established? B. Danu, candi ini dibangun pada tahun 750 dan 850 Masehi oleh dinasti Salendra dan dinasti Sanjaya. Candi ini dibangun pada tahun 750 dan 850 Masehi oleh dinasti Salendra dan dinasti Sanjaya, which means the temple was established in 750 and 850 AD by Salendra and Sanjaya dynasty. A. Andi, terima kasih infonya. Kapan kita akan ke sana? Terima kasih infonya. Kapan kita akan ke sana? Which means, thank you for the information. When will we go there? B. Danu, hari ini jam 9 kita berangkat. Hari ini jam 9 kita berangkat. Which means, today we will leave at 9 o'clock. A. Andi, baiklah, terima kasih. Baiklah, terima kasih. Which means, all right, thank you. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thanks for your attention. See you and sampai jumpa. Oh,
World Service, Voice of Indonesia, is holding VOI International Quiz 2016 with the main prize, having a holiday in Indonesia. Indonesia, an amazing country, the world's largest archipelagic country, where you can find a lot of wonderful things. Indonesia, a beautiful place with natural cultural diversity, along with its friendly people. All of this will impress you for good. Are you dreaming of visiting Indonesia? Make your dream come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2016. You may be the lucky one to visit the wonderful Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. What is the capital city of Indonesia? 2. What is your favorite program? 3. Tell us briefly what you know about Voice of Indonesia. Please send your answer along with your personal data, passport number, and expiry date of your passport to voiquiz2016@gmail.com. voiquiz2016@gmail.com before August 1st, 2016. Welcome to Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Hernita, in the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will introduce you to an Indonesian pop singer, Tommy J. Pisa. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Di Batas Kota Ini by Tommy J. Pisa. Happy listening.
Kota ini ku menatap wajahmu. Perpisahan ini membuat duka di hati. Ingin ku berlari namun tak kuasa diriku. Engkau menangis dalam pelukanku. Sendiri kau terpaku melepas kepergianku. Air matamu berlinang membasahi pipi. Seakan kau sesali perpisahan ini. Janganlah kau sesali, janganlah kau tangisi. Aku pergi kembali lagi. Hapuslah air matamu, hapus luka hatimu. Nantikan aku di batas kota ini.
Pelabuhan jadi saksi, dermaga tua menanti. Di saat engkau berjanji untuk kembali lagi. Pelabuhan melawan, ku lepas dimu kasih.
bepergianku. Air matamu berlinang membasahi pipi, seakan kau sesali perpisahan ini. Janganlah kau sesali, janganlah kau tangisi, aku pergi untuk kembali lagi. Hapuslah air matamu, hapus luka hatimu, nantikan aku di batas kota ini.
Pelabuhan jadi saksi, dermaga tua menanti, disempatkan kau berjanji untuk kembali lagi. Di pelabuhan melawan, ku lepas dirimu kasih, ku harapkan kau kembali untukku lagi.
Janganlah kau sesali, kembali lagi. Hapuslah air matamu, hapus luka hatimu, nantikan aku di batas kota ini.
Listener on an area of 80s, Indonesian pop music became a choice of people, especially Indonesian pop music lovers. Tommy J. Pisa also enlivened the Indonesian pop music in the era with melancholic color of music. The song Di Batas Kota Ini has successfully catapulted his name equal with other well-known Indonesian pop singers at that time. The color of music, which was presented so beautiful, and tells about the love that occurred amongst human in their daily lives. Obviously, the strength of the lyrics with the melancholic rhythm was the reason that the songs of Tommy J. Pisa was accepted well by public. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Biarkan Aku Menangis by Tommy J. Pisa. Enjoy the song.
Thank you.
kayu. Adakah hari esok untuk kita bercinta seperti yang telah kita lewati? Biarlah ku relakan kau pergi, tinggalkan derita bersamaku. Ku doakan kau bahagia di sisinya. Sementara biarkan aku menangis. Tiada guna aku hidup begini tanpa belayan kekasih yang sangat ku sayangi. Kepedihan yang kini ku rasakan darimu yang mencintai.
Listener, wherever you are, the sentimental song at that time was quickly and much accepted by Indonesian pop music lovers in the country. It is proven that the songs of Tommy J. Bisa were able to survive until the 1990s. After releasing many albums, Tommy J. Bisa, lowering his recording activities but more intense in various off-air events. According to Tommy, he did not stop the activity completely, because singing is not merely to look for material, but to the inner satisfaction. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today of Music Corner, let's listen to the last two songs, entitled Cinta dan Harapan and Di Sini Cintaku Bersemi. Happy listening, and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.